Jacob the Supplanter. Commentary for the May 28th Sabbath School Lesson. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven. Genesis 28, verse 12a. Two things are common about the human condition and our relationship to God. We tend to become impatient with God if our expectations are not swiftly met, and we ourselves will refuse to move forward on something until forced to do so by conflict or trial. We saw this with Abraham, who did not leave Ur until his advocacy for the true God brought him into conflict with Nimrod. That conflict cost the life of his brother Haran, and almost cost his life. It also endangered the rest of the family. Even though they were idol worshippers, his father Terah had deceived Nimrod concerning the birth of his son. The entire family then left Nimrod's realm for Haran, a city said to have been built by Nimrod, but now within the Hittite kingdom. Since the Hittites were strong enough that they sacked Babylon under King Mursili I, this was a wise decision. They remained there until Terah died. All of this is highly condensed in the Bible, although the writer of Genesis makes clear that God takes credit for bringing them out of Ur. Lot's father, Haran, died believing in the God of Abraham, perishing in the same fire that was to have consumed Lot's uncle. Lot followed him and grew close to Uncle Abraham while they resided in Haran. But the rest of the family continued with idolatry, as was seen when Jacob left Laban's household with Rachel and Leah, and Rachel stole Laban's household idols. The continued dissonance between the idol worshippers in the family and Abraham and Lot's desire to worship the true God may have been the catalyst for Abraham's departure. Perhaps Terah had been able to smooth over those issues, but when he died, Abraham and Lot left Haran with their households and their possessions and entered Canaan. Terah had power and influence in Ur and may have had considerable wealth. When he died, that wealth would have been divided among his heirs, with Abraham's brother Nahor receiving the physical estate in Haran, while Abraham and Lot left with slaves and flocks that would be the foundation of future wealth. This was a time of conflict between the Egyptians and the Hittites, so there may have been incentives for those living in the Hittite Empire to move south into Canaan to promote Hittite occupation and stabilization of their frontier with Egypt. The Bible even tells us that Abraham bought land in Canaan from a Hittite, Ephron. Through this transaction with Ephron, Abraham acknowledges that Canaan is under Hittite occupation and control. Whatever the motivation for the move may have been, once again the author of Genesis writes that God called Abraham from Haran to Canaan. We're not told how much time passes, but eventually Lot decides he can serve God just as faithfully in Sodom, perhaps missing the more urban environments of Ur and Haran. There was fighting between the herders of Abraham's household and those of Lot's, and this was blamed for bringing about their split. But when Abraham urged Lot to make a choice about where he would live, his nephew revealed the longing of his heart when he set his eyes upon Sodom and chose that valley for his flocks. Abraham remained in the hill country where he would not compete with Lot for grazing fields. Unfortunately, things did not go well for Lot in Sodom. Lot and his wife were captured by invaders, and Abraham had to rescue them. And finally, they were driven from Sodom when it was destroyed by fire. Terah had sent Abraham to live with Noah and Shem when he was a child to protect him from Nimrod. Those godly men taught Abraham all they could about God and how to worship him. Lot drew upon that knowledge in his relationship with his uncle. But once separated, he could no longer easily turn to Abraham for answers. He began to drift so that his wife's heart was more strongly drawn to Sodom than to God, and his daughters had found relationships with the men of that city, men who neither respected Lot nor his God. Even though Abraham had saved the citizens of Sodom when he rescued Lot, they continued to consider Lot a foreigner. Things have not changed much since then. Faithful people may move to the cities where the best-paying jobs and greatest opportunities for wealth are to be found, but if they are peculiar enough to believe in God, their acceptance there is tenuous, dependent on whether they will participate in those things that might challenge their professed morality. A year after Lot leaves Sodom for good, Abraham finally has his only child with Sarah, Isaac. When Isaac is of age, Abraham sends his servant back to Haran to find a wife for him. It is unclear why this is so. The Bible tells us that they do not want Isaac marrying an idolatrous Canaanite. But the family back in Haran were idolaters also. It may have been more about preserving the family wealth within the family. This was common and at times resulted in marriages that we would consider incestuous today. Even Abraham was married to his half-sister, Sarah. Whatever the reason, the servant returns with Rebekah, and she becomes Isaac's wife, eventually bearing him twin boys, Esau and Jacob. As they grew, Isaac favored Esau, and Rebekah favored Jacob. This played out in rivalries between the two. Jacob is often labeled a deceiver, but he had a good teacher in Rebekah, who encouraged his deceptions. He convinced Esau to sell him his birthright for a bowl of lentils and a bit of bread. But his mother pushed him into the greater deception of lying to Isaac to receive the patriarchal blessing. She and Jacob both paid dearly for this lie, not seeing one another again for decades as Jacob fled to Haran to avoid Esau's wrath. A Talmudic tradition states that Jacob went to live with Shem and Eber before going on to Laban in Haran. The Bible says nothing of this, but it does add about 14 years to his absence, which would make it more likely that his arrival would coincide with the approximate time of Rebekah's death. Despite his vision of a ladder at Bethel that affirmed an ongoing connection to God and the covenant of circumcision established through Abraham, like many a young man, he was soon swept off his feet by a pretty girl and gave his heart away without regard to Rachel's family being given over to idolatry. They say young men don't think with their head. Although he participated in deceptions and lies in his own family, he became the victim of the same while living with and working for Laban, Rebekah's brother. The deceitfulness of Rebekah and her brother adds a little more to the understanding of why Abraham and Nahor parted company after Terah's death. We do not know how bad it might have been between the brothers, but if Laban's treatment of Jacob and Rachel's theft and lies to her father are an indication, it may have been a difficult household to survive in. Even Jacob decided for his own safety and that of his wives and children, it was time to leave. No tearful goodbyes or farewell parties. He and his family left without telling anyone, so Laban pursued him, threatening death over his missing household idols. Did she take the idols to hurt her father in retaliation for the things he forced her to do, such as deceiving Jacob with Leah? Or did she take them because she was an idol worshiper and believed they would guarantee safety and prosperity? If that were the case, she was soon disappointed as Jacob took away their idols and buried them at Shechem. His household would worship the true God. Sadly, the dysfunction that may have driven Abraham and Lot from Haran caused Rebekah to deceive Isaac and caused Laban to repeatedly deceive Jacob, who had also deceived Esau and his father. Isaac continued to plague his family that was struggling to realize a covenant with God that Abraham passed on to his descendants. Self-serving deception and idolatry continued to plague those that came after them until they finally stopped worshiping idols because of the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. An ironic outcome. Abraham fled the idolatry of Babylon to promote the worship of the one true God, but it was Nebuchadnezzar, a later king of Babylon, who inadvertently but finally put them back on the right path, away from worshiping other gods. Where Nimrod opposed God, Nebuchadnezzar came to honor him, and Daniel, whom the Babylonian king took as hostage from Jerusalem, guided the king to the worship of the true God, and did the same for the later king who conquered Babylon. We have drifted since then. Although we may not be worshiping carved images of gods who are no gods, we are worshiping things like wealth, power, and control, all things that modern Babylon has in plenty. Through deceit and lies, we are binding ourselves to her train, but one day the purveyor of all those opportunities will come to an end. Some of the faithful God will shelter and provide for in that difficult time, as God delivered Daniel from the lions. Others, like Lot fleeing Sodom, will escape with only the clothes on their backs, grateful to be saved nonetheless. Others may finally call upon the God they have never had time for. May God be merciful and compassionate on that day. Until then, may we as fervently seek Him as He does us. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You may find other podcasts as well as hundreds of commentaries at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.